Wow, John, thank you. That was amazing.
It's a beautiful
to
song,
step right
isn't
in
it?
There. Yes, that was touched my heart. To love, to serve, and to remember. How very apropos for this Memorial Day weekend. So my talk title is Remembering in Honor, Appreciating Our Freedom. Remembering in Honor, Appreciating Our Freedom. And so I'd like to talk a little bit at first about Memorial Day itself and a little bit about the history, because we know that it is a day of honoring and remembering those who have given their all for this nation's ideals of freedom. So there are many stories as to the actual beginnings, with over two dozen cities that are and towns that are laying claim to being the birth place of Memorial Day. It just sort of speaks to the idea that we all want to honor, and so oftentimes we do similar things, kind of like the 100th monkey ideal. So, yeah, there was also evidence that organized women's groups in the South were decorating graves even before the end of the Civil War. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on May 5th. It had been called Decoration Day up to that time, but on May 5th, 1868, General John Logan proclaimed this day that the nation would observe, and it was observed on May 30th, 1868, that year, and flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. And I find it interesting because that particular date, May 30th, was chosen because there was no particular battle that was fought on that day. So it was a day to honor and to remember. And then after World War I, the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honor all Americans who died fighting in any war. So we can know and understand that Memorial Day is a holiday. It is a time of remembering, of coming together to really appreciate with gratitude and to honor those people who over time have given their lives for this most amazing ideal of freedom. And it is something that we can deeply appreciate and be grateful for those who have given so very much. In addition to those who have not died, but who have served. So it is a part of the Memorial Day custom, and I did not know this previously, but it is part of the Memorial Day custom to lower the flag to half-mast until noontime, after which it is then raised to full height until sundown. Does anyone know about that? Does anybody know the history behind that? Well, over time, as you know, as customs and holidays shift and change, and as we are in that process of honoring, how we go about that shifts and change. It's, first of all, it was for Civil War veterans who had died. Then it became for all Americans who had served. And so the idea of the flag, which nationally was understood to represent an honoring of someone who had died in the nation of significance, usually that flag is lowered to half a mast for the entire day. Well, around the time of Dwight D. Eisenhower, he was actually the one who made it official. And he said that we are a nation, though, who lives on. And we are in gratitude for all of our veterans, not only those who have died, but those who have served and continue to serve and live on. So this day is not just a day in memory of those who have passed away fighting for our freedom, but it is a day of honoring all who still continue to do so. So it is raised from that half-mast height at noontime as a means of honoring, after it has honored those who have died in battle, it's a means to honor the living veterans, recognizing those who have sacrificed and those who are still with us, and understanding that we continue to hold that ideal of freedom deeply in our heart. So on this Memorial Day, as we're celebrating with our family and friends, and we're out in enjoying the beautiful weather, we can recognize that we have so much to be grateful for and thankful for those who have continued to uphold the ideals that keep us free. And oftentimes, we end up taking for granted those very freedoms that other people do not get to experience. Jeff Dixon says, he's a theologian and a transformational architect. He worked for Disney, Walt Disney. But he said, sometimes we focus so much on what we don't have that we fail to see, appreciate, and use what we do have. Right? And Gilbert Chesterton, who was a theologian and a philosopher, says, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. So let's think for a moment about the freedoms that we experience, so much of which we take for granted all the time. Many people in other countries don't have the freedoms we have, the right to vote, the right of our own political beliefs, freedom of speech. What are some other freedoms that we have? Come on.
Freedom to be here.
Right. Religious and spiritual freedoms.
Freedom to travel.
Property ownership. I'm sorry, wait. The internet. Yeah. The right to create and own a business. What other freedoms? What, Warren? Yes, and someone else?
Education.
Ooh. Yeah. And when we stop to think about that for just a moment, and we recognize in our lives that we're very used to it. You know, the Vietnam War was quite a while back, and we sort of forget the ongoing ways in which our servicemen and women are still upholding those ideals for us, are protecting us, or saying, this is what we believe, and we believe it so strongly, we are willing to give all. We are willing to give all. And that's a pretty powerful sacrifice it's to make when you leave your family, moms or dads. They leave their children, their pets, their dogs, their cats, their families, their communities. And they go to uphold that ideal of freedom that on a day in and day out basis, we just kind of take it for granted. Freedom does not, this is from Charlie Dent. He's a U.S. representative. Freedom does not come without a price. We may sometimes take for granted the many liberties we enjoy in America, but they have all been earned through the ultimate sacrifice paid by so many of the members of our armed forces. And we forget, friends, that this is a journey that we are all a part of. And that on Memorial Day, it is so very important to take some time apart to recognize and to appreciate and to honor what it takes to uphold these ideals against tyranny, against oppression, against other beliefs that are held out in our world. From scripture in Philippians 2, 4 through 5, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. This speaks so dearly to a recognition of those who choicefully serve, who step forward to uphold our ideals. And from Galatians 5, 1 through 3, it says, verse 13, sorry. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. See, sometimes in our understanding of what it means to be free and to be in a nation that honors and upholds freedom, we forget that it is freedom from the tyrannies. It's not a free-for-all. And with that freedom comes a great responsibility and a great choice on our part. That means our own willingness to step up to the plate to do what is ours to do in creating that freedom going forward. But I'd like to take a moment now before I continue for us to just close our eyes in a time of honoring, a time of remembering, a time of gratitude. Perhaps you have a friend or a loved one who has died in service to this United States. And more than just to the United States, but actually to the ideal of freedom for all humanity. Because it is not just about our country or a sense of separatism. It is about being willing to be the leading light of that consciousness, to carry that forth that other nations may recognize and honor and participate in freedom that uplifts all of humanity. And so we take this moment in prayer to give thanks and to honor all those who have given their lives, who have said, I stand for this with all of who I am. And even though you may not know someone personally who has died in battle, who has died in that pursuit of freedom, we can appreciate and give thanks as we see the graves at Arlington. So we know so many who have walked with that integrity and with that intention for our freedom. With open hearts, we can send our prayers, our light, our memories, our appreciation and gratitude. And so we say thank you to all. And we also remember those who are continuing in that journey of upholding the light of freedom for all as we continue to walk forward into the ideals that freedom represents. And so praying forth our gratitude and appreciation, we say thank you for all who have given their all. Amen. So if we let this be a holiday where we celebrate family and friends, because it's so very important to appreciate and to live into the freedoms that people have fought for, to not take them for granted, and in not taking them for granted, to actually live into them so that we can celebrate and have this wonderful expression of life, and knowing that as we go forward, there are so very many ways in which we actually create and manifest freedom. Because friends, freedom is up to each one of us. While we can appreciate and be thankful for all who have served in our armed forces, freedom is a daily journey that we are the soldiers of, that we are the creators of, that we are the ones responsible for manifesting forth into our world. And it's with an understanding that freedom starts within us, Because freedom is not just an ideal. Freedom starts within the heart of our being. That proclaims that I will be free of my own tyrannic judgments and considerations and old limiting thoughts and beliefs. I will be free because I choose. I choose to focus my thoughts in a direction that will bring about that consciousness of a higher state of being. So once we understand that freedom is not something that starts out here, but it starts within us, we can begin the process by aligning ourselves in oneness with the living presence of God. From scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This is saying, in the presence of God, we recognize our oneness, our unity, our wholeness. And when we reside in that Spirit, when we tune into that higher awareness in the core of our being, that is when we begin to feel the freedom. We recognize the ways in which we limit, the ways in which we judge our family members, our co-workers, our communities, our political system, our government. And we say, freedom starts within, and it starts within me. Through the consciousness of my own thinking, I create freedom within, which then manifests itself outwardly. We all know that everything starts from the core of who we are and then becomes manifest out in our world as we live into that higher consciousness. And it goes on to say in Psalms 119:44-45, "I will keep obeying your law forever and ever. I have gained perfect freedom by following your teachings." Perfect freedom by following your teachings, meaning that when we are willing to tune into our own responsibility, when we are willing to recognize the ways in which we project a binding consciousness, when we are willing to breathe into the oneness in which we are created, that is wholeness, that is perfect light and love, that is the ultimate freedom, as we live into that, as we embody it, as we express it, it does indeed become manifest in our outer world. And in scripture from Colossians 3:14-15, it says, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." You are called to peace. Friends, this is our journey. This is how we create freedom forward, where we don't just count on someone else to establish that forward, but we understand that freedom starts right here, right now, within each and every one of us. And it has to do with the direction of our thoughts, with our willingness to step forward with a mighty faith and with a confidence in that Spirit, in the teachings of God, that we are whole and free and one. From on the internet, a page that's called resistingtheintervention.com, they say, "Here and everywhere in the universe, freedom must be protected and nurtured and supported. For everywhere in life, it is challenged. It is a gift. And it is a gift that you as an individual and you as a member of a spiritual family must advocate for, preserve, and protect." So friends, let us have this wonderful Memorial Day holiday be a time where we lift our hearts up in gratitude Not where we mourn those who have died and passed on, but where we lift them up and appreciate them for all that they have given. And for all of those who continue to serve to create freedoms in our outer world. And where we stop for a moment to appreciate ourselves and our own journey to uphold and to embody and to live into the freedoms that will eventually create freedom for all across all nations throughout our entire world. Albert Camus said, "Freedom is not a gift received from a state or a leader, but a possession to be won every day by the effort of each and the union of all." He was a French philosopher and a journalist, and Franklin Roosevelt went on to say, in the truest sense, freedom cannot be bestowed, it must be achieved. So friends, this weekend, as we celebrate, know that we are about achieving that through the direction of our thinking, through the upliftment of our hearts that appreciates in gratitude those who have served, and in recognizing what is ours to do in walking forward. With deep gratitude, we acknowledge the sacrifices made to uphold freedom for all. I'll repeat that. With deep gratitude, we acknowledge the sacrifices made to uphold freedom for all. So as we hold that gratitude in our hearts, as we celebrate with friends and family, let us not take for granted the things that we have. But let us instead recognize in each other. Reach out your hand, say thank you. Give blessings for the ways in which each individual, in their own unique way, steps forward in a consciousness that values and upholds and steps forward in living that which will create freedom for all. And I will close with this quote from Anna Julia Cooper. She was a prominent African-American scholar, an author, and an educator. And she says, "The cause of freedom is not the cause of a race or a sect, a party or a class. It is the cause of humankind."